Coddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Good morning to David Downey.
Morning,
hello,
Steve.
David.
Hello.
You've had a few days at the Open Championship, haven't you?
Glorious few days.
One of the best Open Championships for you?
It wasn't as good as last year's, because in terms of excitement and things like that, but it provided enough. I think it gave it...
Even on that final round yesterday, it wasn't quite as much as the Mickelson-Stenson chase last year.
I think people are quite rightly lauding it as one of the best, but for me, if you put it in a bit of context, that last year was just incredible, the level and the standard of golf, whereas Spieth was a comeback, and, you know, put it in context, he was only ever one shot behind Kuchar when he was making all of those mistakes. Terrific run of holes that he had. That five-hole stretch that he had to culminate in lifting the claret jug was pretty special, but it's up there, but it's not near the one last year for me.
All my bets crashed and burnt. They were absolutely useless. I went for Mickelson. We both did. What was he, 10 over by 10 the end of it? Yeah. Ricky Fowler, I think he was 1 over at the end of the... I can't even remember who my last bet was. It was pointless. I know that.
Well, there was one I said to Connor that did sort of come in a little bit. Brandon Grace. So obviously he hits a 62. I think he finished in a tie for sixth in the end, so he would have got a few quid back off that each way. But other than that...
It's very hard to choose one from the top 10, is it? Although you look at it now and you go, oh, Jordan Spieth might have been relatively obvious, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but how much value do you get? Do you know what I mean? It's 150-odd man field, and he'd have been, what, 14 to 1 at best. So, I mean, you're not getting great value, are you? I look at golf bets and think, I want someone at least around 33 to 1 or bigger, considering just the size of the field alone. You know, it's like the Grand National, isn't it? When you see the favourites going off at 6-1, you're thinking you've got to get past another 39 horses plus all the fences. You know, it doesn't seem worth it putting a bet on at that price.
It felt good at the time. It didn't at the very end of it. I was sort of clinging on to Ricky Fowler finishing in the top 10 just to get 10 quid back or something. What was your favourite bit of the Open? I don't mean on the course, because when you went, and there'll be a lot of people this morning going, oh, we had a wonderful day, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday. What do you really like about it?
Do you know, the best part for me was in our radio booth in the media centre, next to us was another broadcaster with Bob Bubka, as you know, you've had him on, and just hearing some of the one-liners he comes out with, because he's so sarcastic and so dry, and he sits there with his producer. I think he's been with her for about 40 years or something, and they're just like an old married couple. I'm just sitting there listening to them all the way through, and you're sitting there was something to behold. And I liked sort of getting out and talking to people as well, because there's not enough golf in the Northwest. I think Sky made quite a lot of saying that. Richard Boxall on Sky was saying it quite a lot, saying, you know, there's no tournaments between like Liverpool, Manchester, Northwest region, given the fact we've got what they call it the Gulf Coast up here, don't they? And how good the courses are around here. We don't have a tournament, a regular one anyway. So a lot of people were frustrated that, you know, this is the one, and then...
But it makes it even more special, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it's an open championship, isn't it? It's always going to be special. You can't tell me if you get different crowds there if you held it here, what, once every 2 or 3 years, like they do with St Andrews. I mean, St Andrews is the record attendance. This one got the record attendance away from St Andrews, and I think that's testament to how people have a passion for golf up in the Northwest, given all the courses we have. I mean, it's a breeding ground for golf.
But it couldn't come round any sooner, could it? You've got St Andrews, Troon, Muirfield, Portrush is entering the open schedule as now. Hoylake, Lytham, Birkdale, who have I missed off?
St George's.
St George's, that's 8, and Carnoustie, that's 9.
Yeah.
So it's got to be fair. So it is literally going to be every 9 years based on that.
Yeah, but it's slightly skewed, that, isn't it, by the fact that they go back to St Andrews every 4 years, is it? Every 5 years. Of course it is. I'd love to go to one there as well. I think that's the next thing on my bucket list, is to go to that. But yeah, I mean, we're lucky, aren't we, because we have Lytham's virtually on our doorstep. We've got Birkdale, and we've got Royal Liverpool as well. Mm. So we should get one, if the maths are correct, once every 4 or 5 years, which this turns out to be. I mean, we had one, what, 3 years ago at Hoylake, wasn't it? So we are quite lucky in that respect in open championships. But I think what people were alluding to is more a standard tour event. So, like, for instance, the big event that Sky sponsor is, I think it's the European Masters, and that's in Newcastle next week, which Lee Westwood's sponsoring. They make a massive fuss of getting young people involved and doing a lot of the activities they did at the Open this week, you know, for kids, the swing zone and all that sort of thing. It'd be nice to get that up here someday.
Sky did a brilliant job. I think the TV coverage taken to the next level. That, you know, BBC executives will have been watching that thinking, I wonder what they're going to do with it. And what they did was they made it sort of bigger, more accessible, more almost a glitzy, I'd say.
Well, yeah, that's right. And I think the RNA made the point of saying that because there was the obvious criticism that it's not free to air anymore. Yeah. And they said, well, yeah, but when you look at it, it was a relatively outdated broadcast service. And it was quite a bit of a dig at the BBC and the way they conducted things. And they were saying, look, the Sky went and won a BAFTA for the golf coverage last year. When they had the Open for the first time. And you think some of the innovations, Steve, I mean, I went down to that the Open Zone, you know, where Claude Harmon is.
Ah, yeah. Claude Harmon the third.
Claude Harmon the third, yeah. And, oh, Steve.
Who was on?
At the time, I've seen Harrington down there and I've seen Beef down there as well. And they've got a putting green now down there, Steve, where they can change the contours on it. So they've got, like, obviously a big something underneath it that makes it rise, and you can get all the different contours, the different puts that people have. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's no expense spared, and then we were quite close to the Sky Kart in the media centre as well, so we got to see how they run all of that. I mean, the production of it is massive, and yeah, they do a really good job. And you know, in the past, before they got that, I was quite critical of their golf coverage, given the fact that if you look at cricket, for instance, they get all the big hitters on there, don't they? Every legend that's ever played cricket is basically a pundit on Sky. Whereas the golf, they get a couple of players who played one tour event or won one tournament in their lifetime or something.
Claude Harmon the third.
Yeah. Well, he coaches Dustin Johnson, do you know what I mean? But now they've got such a rich plethora of people to pick from, and they tend to get players who've like missed the cut as well. So Darren Clark was commentating. Montgomery as well. I'm not his biggest fan, but you know, he's a star attraction, isn't he, to many people? So,
well, he's been ditched off by them, hasn't he?
Well, he was there for the last couple of days.
Just on the radio? Was he wasn't on
no,
the
no,
telly?
No, he was on,
oh, was he on the telly?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He had more commitments with American TV, which is ironic because the Americans don't really like him, do they? So, yeah, they've got him. They got Darren Clark. They had Ian Poulter last year when he was injured. Yeah. So they're going about it the right way. They're sort of branching out and getting the big names involved. And then down in that swing zone, all of the top players go down there and have some fun with the kids and all that sort of thing. And that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? Is immersing people in the coverage.
The swing zone was amazing. The shop was amazing. I've got loads of new friends in the R&A. All my friends right at the top of the R&A, having worked there for the past 4 days. And their running joke is there's two things you can see from space. The Great Wall of China and the shop at the Open Championship.
It was huge, wasn't it?
For what is
essentially a pop-up shop. Yeah. I mean, it looked like it had been there for years. It's a structure in itself. Almost like a warehouse, wasn't it? It's that big.
Nothing's below 30 quid.
No, that's the thing. It was ridiculous.
What do you think
expensive.
The best-selling item is? Oh. The Open Championship. Come on, they were everywhere.
Must have been the caps.
It was the flag. You see the flag.
Oh, could you buy the flag, could you?
So you could buy a yellow flag that said 18 on it.
And that's where all the kids were getting signed and things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. 20 quid.
20 quid for a flag?
Mind you, it's probably the cheapest of the range, isn't it?
Well, of course, we got given a free cap, didn't we, for being media? Well, you didn't.
You got a cap? I didn't get a cap.
Yeah, we got a cap. And what I thought was really special is, you know them big badges you see on the players' hats? You get given one of them as well.
Do you know what I got given? What? Except I didn't get it. What? So I was doing, I'll just name drop again. I was doing a few days with Kenny Dalglish and we were doing Q&As. So before the championship, we said, well, maybe we should be in Open Championship gear. Kenny suggested this. So I thought, oh, great, we're going to get a shirt each. So the fella, Kev, who works for the R&A, brought along three shirts. Gave them to Kenny downstairs. I was upstairs. Kenny comes upstairs. He said, hiya, Steve. He said, what size are you? He said, are you medium? And I said, no, I'm not, Kenny. I'm 6'4". I'm not medium. He says, I've already put on the large shirt and there's only a medium now. So Kenny ended up walking away with all three shirts. I got absolutely nobbled by him. Right, let's talk about Everton a little bit. It's a huge week for the Blues. Yeah. Some of the team were at the Open Championship yesterday, just chilling out, getting the mindset right ahead of the start of competitive action.
Yeah, Thursday it all gets underway. I think there's going to be a big crowd at Goodison as well with it.
Sell out or not? Can you still get a ticket?
Yeah, you can still get a ticket. I don't think it'll be sold out. I'm not sure that they're opening all parts of the ground as well. I need to look a little bit more into that because I've had my head in the golf for the last week or so. But yeah, it's a big game. It's a big European night. It's a qualifier. Everton have stumbled at this hurdle before and they've been upset a few times.
When have they stumbled at this hurdle? What years?
It was when we got beat in the Champions League qualifier firstly by Villarreal, and then we went on to play, I think it was it Dynamo Bucharest. No, I think it might have been. And we got beat 5-1 in the first leg away. And basically,
I've got a vague memory of that.
Basically closed the shop on any hopes of getting into the group stages. I think we won the home leg 1-0 or 2-0. And that was it then. European adventure over after all that.
That's why you like the idea of playing at home first then, isn't it?
Well,
you've still got a lingering memory of this.
Yeah, and of course the year after, I think we... 2 years later, we had to go in a qualifier again, and that was against Metalist Kharkiv. And we beat them 3-2. We beat them 1-0 or 2-1 at home. And we were 3-1 down away in the second leg. And I think James McFadden scored a late goal, which ultimately sent us through. I mean, it was very, very tight. It was very close as well. We were going out for large parts of that game. So, I mean, these are not to be taken lightly, to be honest. And you've seen West Ham falter at this stage as well last season. I think this side is somewhat of an unknown quantity, which makes him a little bit more dangerous. Whereas SK Brann, Everton played them in 2007. They'd have known a little bit more about them. They'd have, you know, a far easier team to scout as well, being the Norwegian league. It's not that obscure. Whereas this team's just come out of nowhere, went away and beat them 2-0. So, I mean, it looks like they've got some sort of pedigree. Having said that, they lost their first game of the league season yesterday 2-1. But they seem to be obviously a little bit further advanced in their training and match fitness and match sharpness compared to Everton, who don't start for 3 weeks. So it's not one to be taken lightly.
But you've got no pangs of worry, have you? It's not like you're heading into this thinking,
I think the days are gone of sort of thinking, well, this is a banana skin and, you know, we've got to be careful here. You take a 1-0 win away. I think Everton should comfortably get through the tie and have it put to bed on Thursday by winning by at least two or three goals. I think those days are over. But I think the anticipation is the main thing from a fan point of view, Steve. It's not a glamorous tie, but it's one that marks Everton's return to Europe. But also, we get to see all of the new players that Ronald Koeman's bought over the summer as well. We'll get to see them all in action. They're all match fit. I'd expect at least four of the five of them to start. So,
well, Wayne will grab the spotlight, won't he?
I mean, obviously, I think that's why it would edge close to a sellout if it isn't a sellout because of him. People want to see his first game back at Goodison. But also there's Sandro as well, who they look like they've shook up a bit of a partnership in the friendly that they played together the other day. And obviously the main one I want to see is Jordan Pickford. So seeing a goalkeeper who can save and catch and stuff like that will be nice.
You're so boring wanting to see a goalkeeper as opposed to a striker.
Yeah, well, have you seen the goalkeeper?
It's typical Downey behaviour.
Well, it is, yeah. But the thing is, have you seen our goalkeepers for the last 10 years? I've got quite good reason.
You've got Wayne Rooney coming back and you're excited about the goalkeeper.
Well, yeah, because he costs 30 million quid. He's basically our record signing. Yeah, he is.
Ever, is he?
He'll eventually become one. I think it's is it Balassi at the moment? No, it's still Lukaku, isn't it? Yeah, but that can rise
how
to 30 million.
How much was Lukaku? 28, right.
Yeah,
that's why
so Pickford's can rise up to 30. So
just give us a quick line on captaincy. Alan Irwin said he wasn't bothered who was the captain for this season. There's perhaps a little bit of an expectancy that Wayne Rooney will be given the armband. Would that help things, or similarly so? Are you not interested?
I'm more interested to say not to say I'm bothered, not bothered by it, but I think he's a natural leader anyway, Steve, so whether he's got the armband or not, I think he'll take up that role of being one of the leaders on the pitch. I think a criticism of Phil Jagielka over the years is he isn't vocal enough, he doesn't get in the referees here, and he's not nasty enough, he doesn't have that sort of rough demeanour to go and approach a referee and bark things at players and stuff like that. I think there's a few contenders now as well. I think Morgan Schneiderlin's probably one. Coleman, when he gets back, I think would be the one that Koeman would see going forward, but obviously that's a big question mark over him. So in the short term, I think it might well be Rooney, yeah.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.